yoga teacher, now is the time to make a much bigger impact in the world. You're listening to The Yogipreneur, a podcast for entrepreneurial yoga teachers who want to stop the hustle and overwhelm and instead create more income, freedom, and success. I'm your host, Kelly McHugh, founder of Digital Yoga Academy, and I'm sharing business and marketing strategies to grow your community in a way that makes it easy to take action today. I believe that you have a unique message to share that your people need to hear. So let's get to it. I've worked with thousands of yoga teachers to grow their businesses online and across every level. Brand new teachers, experienced teachers, teachers who've been building online for years. And I see the same patterns showing up again and again in the ones who are financially stuck. And I want to be clear about something before we dive in today. It has almost nothing to do with how good a teacher you are. You can be extraordinary on the mat. You can have years of training, a loyal studio following, genuine transformation to offer, and still feel completely stuck when it comes to building your income online. So today I'm going to share why that is, and more importantly, what the shift actually looks like for the teachers who do break through, because it's not more hustle, it's not a better Instagram strategy, it's something much more fundamental than that. So let's start with something that most people in the yoga industry don't want to say out loud. Yoga teacher training was not designed to produce financially successful yoga teachers. It was designed to certify them. So you go through your 200 hours, you invest thousands of pounds or dollars, you come out the other side qualified and inspired, and then you're handed to an industry where the supply of teachers far exceeds the demand that studios generally don't have to pay well, because there's always another teacher willing to take whatever's available just to get the experience. So I'm not saying this to create blame. Studios are often struggling too. This is just a structural reality of the industry that yoga teachers walk into without anyone having prepared them for it. Add to that the cultural narrative that yoga shouldn't be commercialized, that, you know, wanting to make money from teaching is somehow compromising the integrity of the practice. And then you've got teachers who are financially squeezed from every direction and who have also absorbed the idea that wanting more is somehow wrong. So that's the external landscape, and understanding it really matters because it means that your struggle is not evidence that you're not good enough. You know, this system was not set up for your success. But, and this is important, the system is also not what's keeping you stuck, because I see teachers inside these same structures building really solid incomes online. So something else is going on. And this is the one that I don't hear talked about nearly enough. And in my opinion, it's the most significant block of all. Most yoga teachers are operating from an employee identity inside what is technically their own business. So think about what that means. From the moment that you started training, you were being prepared to show up, deliver a class, and receive payment for that hour. That is an employee model. Time for money, presence required. No presence, no income. And that model is deeply embedded because it's all that was ever modeled to you. Nobody in your yoga teacher training talked about creating offers or positioning or building an audience or what it actually means to run a business rather than just fill up your schedule with teaching. So even when teachers decide that they do want to go online, they often just replicate the same model, but online. They teach Zoom classes instead of studio classes. They offer drop-ins online instead of in person. And they're still trading time for money just through a screen. And so I hear it in the language too. Teachers say things like, I just need to figure out Instagram, or I just need someone to help me with the tech. I just need to find my niche. All of those things matter, but they're not the root issue. The root issue is that they're still thinking like an employee who needs better tools rather than a business owner who needs a different model. So underneath a lot of what I've just described, there's a money story running quietly in the background for most yoga teachers. And it's a belief, sometimes conscious, often not, that wanting financial abundance from teaching yoga is somehow in conflict with the values of the practice and their integrity. And that charging well means you're not being accessible, that good money means you've sold out, and that scarcity is humble and prosperity is ego. And so what happens is teachers undercharge. They discount, they offer free sessions or pay what you can to people who can actually afford to pay. And then they feel resentful. They build businesses that look like charities, not because they want to, but because they've internalized the idea that this is what integrity looks like. Now, what I find when I talk to teachers about this is that the scarcity isn't really theirs. It's inherited. It came from watching how money was talked about in their family. It came from the cultural narrative around yoga and money. It came from the yoga shaming that happens the moment a teacher starts to build something visible and profitable. The comments, the eyebrow raises, the isn't yoga supposed to be more than money? And I want to offer a reframe here because this is something I feel very strongly about. Undercharging is not generosity. Burning yourself out, trying to be accessible to everyone, is not being in service. The most powerful thing that you can do for people that you teach is to build a business that is financially sustainable so that you can keep showing up for them and you can keep developing as a teacher and you can keep creating at the level that your work deserves. So selling is serving. Charging your worth is service. And a nourished teacher gives more than a depleted one ever could. The teachers who build profitable yoga businesses have usually done this work, not perfectly, but they started to question the stories they've inherited and make a conscious decision about what they want to believe instead. So if those are the forces working against yoga teachers, what does it actually look like to move through them? So from everything that I've observed working with thousands of yoga teachers, it comes down to three internal shifts. Shift one, to go from employee to business owner. So this is the identity shift that I described earlier. And the way it starts is deceptively simple. You stop waiting for the right moment and start making decisions from the business owner that you're choosing to become. So that might look like investing in support before you feel ready. It might look like building an email list when you only have 12 subscribers. It might look like creating an offer before you feel like an expert. The actions of a business owner don't wait for the feelings to arrive first. The identity and the action build each other. This is just a mindset reframe. It changes the questions that you ask, the decisions that you make, and the way that you price, and the way that you show up online. It also changes the things you invest in and the results that you get. And I see this show up in three distinct stages. So the first, which is the mindset gap, is really where teachers are still fully in that employee identity. They feel like they have an expensive hobby. They're working incredibly hard, but they can't see how to scale beyond teaching more and adding more hours to their schedule. The next stage is the awakening. Like, this is where teachers start to recognize that how they're thinking is part of what's keeping them stuck. They start to see the pattern. They start asking different questions, but they haven't fully crossed the threshold yet. And the final stage is where the teacher decides, not waits, but decides that they are a business owner. They introduce themselves differently, they make investment decisions differently, and they stop waiting until they feel ready. They start acting from the identity that they want to grow into. Now, when you get to stage three, the external results almost always follow because the decisions and the actions of someone who is operating from a CEO business owner identity are categorically different from those of someone who is in the employee mindset. The second shift is from scarcity to abundance. And I'm not talking about positive thinking or saying affirmations. This is about making deliberate decision to question the money stories that you've inherited and choose a different operating belief. So teachers who make this shift stop lowering their prices. They start seeing investment in their business as strategic rather than risky. And they stop apologizing for selling. They stop equating accessibility with undercharging, and they start finding creative ways to serve at different price points without compromising the value of their core work. So the abundance shift is not about wanting more money for its own sake. It's about recognizing that financial stability and sustainability is what allows your mission to actually continue. The final shift is moving from information gathering to implementation. So many yoga teachers are in a constant state of preparation, taking another training, consuming another course, downloading another resource, waiting until they understand it all perfectly before they can actually act. And what I've observed is that the teachers who build the most momentum are taking imperfect action on what they knew faster than anyone else. And then they've refined from there. So clarity and insight, it doesn't come before the action. It comes after it, okay? When you do the action, you gain the clarity and the insight. So your niche becomes clearer when you start speaking to someone, right? Your offer, it gets better when you've launched it more than once. And your confidence on camera grows after the 15th video, not before the first. So the shift from preparation to implementation is one of the most commercially significant changes a teacher can make. So to bring this back to where we started, if you're a yoga teacher who is working hard, you care about what you do, and you still can't seem to break through financially, and as a result, you're telling yourself it's because you're not good enough, or because the market is too crowded or saturated, I want you to know it's actually because nobody gave you the business framework that goes alongside the teaching skills. And it's because somewhere along the way, you absorbed some ideas about money and identity that are working against you. The teachers who do break through aren't doing something magical. They've simply made a decision about who they are. They've done the work to unpick the money story, and they've chosen action over preparation. That's it. So if you want to go deeper on any of what I've talked about today, I've shared some links to resources in the description below, including how we work with teachers inside Digital Yoga Academy to move through exactly these shifts. And if this resonated, share it with a yoga teacher who needs to hear it. The more teachers who build sustainable online businesses, the better for all of us and for the students whose lives we're here to change. Before you go, don't forget to share what came up for you in the comments below. And if you want more trainings on how to build a thriving and profitable online yoga business, hit the subscribe button to stay in the loop. You've been listening to the Yogipreneur podcast brought to you by Digital Yoga Academy, the leader in business and marketing education for yoga teachers worldwide. And if you loved what you learned today, please subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And remember that learning is nothing without taking action.